Hey, we're going to start the show off, and this week with Dr. Avesh Nagpal. He's a Sanford infectious disease specialist, and he joins us on the line again. Dr. Nagpal, welcome back to KFGO Radio.
Thank you, Amy and JJ.
The front page of the New York Times yesterday was pretty sobering. The graphic has been going quite viral. It was called A Wall of Grief. The graphic was composed of almost 500,000 individual dots, each one representing a single life lost in the U.S. to the coronavirus. How sad. The U.S. is close to reaching that devastating milestone in just under 12 months of the pandemic. And the newest news, I think, in North Dakota is that it seems our numbers are ticking back up, Dr. Nagpal. Are you concerned at all?
Yeah, Amy. Sobering numbers as far as your reference to New York Times article yesterday is concerned. We have been seeing these numbers climbing up over the this fall and this winter, and this was coming, and it's not unexpected. But as far as numbers in North Dakota are concerned, I think what we are seeing is a little bit of peak and trough here and there, but mostly the curve is, remains flat for now, which is how we like it. I think it's kind of expected. I don't expect the pandemic to suddenly disappear after it having been here for a year. Hopefully, when we have vaccinated enough individuals, we will be in a position to say that nobody got infected today or this week. I can't wait for that day to come. But till that happens, I think we will continue to see low numbers with smaller peaks and troughs for the next foreseeable future, which is the next 3 to 4 months, till we can get majority of the population vaccinated.
Dr. Nagpal, what are we looking for as far as a vaccination rate where we can start hoping for that no infections today, no infections tomorrow? I mean, do we have to get into the upper 80s by the time we hit 60%? Are we starting to look for that?
Well, you're talking to an infectious disease doctor, so my answer is 100%. But, unless and until we have a mandate for that, that's not going to happen. So what we need to do is 70% is the number, magic number that I'm looking at, and there's no magic about that. Say every person can infect 2 or 3 people after catching the infection themselves. That means if you vaccinate two-thirds of the population, then you cannot infect any more than one person. So then the curve starts to go down or at least flatten. And we have seen a little bit of that play out naturally because of high number of infections that we have had here. But if we need to see the curve go down even further, then that's the number I'm looking at, 70% at the very least.
It was just last week that we heard that it was confirmed in North Dakota that there is a new variant, or 2 people were confirmed, one that had traveled elsewhere and come back, and a close contact to that person were confirmed to have a new variant of COVID-19. I know we've talked about this previously, and you've said that there's a lot of speculation that it was already here before this, right?
Correct. And I think part of the peak that we saw in the fall and winter was related to those highly transmissible variants already present here. So I think that's already accounted for. Remember, these testing, identification and testing takes time. So by the time we see this, these test results come out, we are already 4 to 6 weeks behind the strain that has already traveled here. So I'm not surprised at all, and that doesn't worry me too much. For all practical purposes, we have been presuming that the UK strain is here, South African strain is here, Brazilian strain is here. My preference is not to call them by those names, because then it discourages the countries to be transparent with their data. Obviously, you don't want to blame any particular community or country for something that's not really in their control. These are viral characteristics. So all these mutations and variants that we see, I think they are already present in our community. And I'm glad the State Health Department is looking into it. But as far as patient care is concerned, as far as our epidemic curve is concerned, I think nothing changes. I don't expect that to change because of this new information.
We had news last week that North Dakota did not receive some of its expected vaccine shipments on Tuesday or Thursday due to severe weather in other parts of the country. They're expected to resume early this week. Are you familiar with that process? And I'm not sure if you even are, since you're really on the treatment side of these diseases.
Right. So, you know, I'm not familiar with that. That's being handled at an operational level with our organization and public health. So I'm not involved in day-to-day decisions or data around vaccines, but I know that they've been working very hard and diligently to make sure that we administer the vaccines as soon as we have any. So I'm fairly confident in their operation, and I think the whole country was expecting or experiencing a little bit of delay because of the severe weather throughout the country. And that's why you would see that the numbers had dropped off the cliff too. I think the daily COVID cases were 50 to 70,000 cases. So don't be surprised if they start to pick up again, because the same way that vaccinations were impacted, I'm pretty sure the testing was impacted too. So that will also play a part in the how the epidemic curve looks going forward this week and next week.
Dr.
So
Nick Paul,
I won't be too surprised if we see about 80,000 to 100,000 infections this week and next. I won't see that as a failure.
Dr. Nick Paul, a disease specialist, a specialist in infectious disease. I'm curious, at the G7 summit, there was some talk about, okay, we're all really concentrating on our own countries right now and making sure our populations are getting vaccinated. But pretty quick, we're going to need to turn an eye to developing countries as well. Who will ultimately be in charge of a developing country? I mean, do we need to step up as part of the World Health Organization? Are they going to be looking to the UN? How does that work to vaccinate people in a country that doesn't have a stable medical system already?
Yeah, great point, JJ. That's the biggest lesson of this pandemic. If we cannot take anything home but this one point, we should really learn from this. This is, I think, our biggest lesson. Viruses know no boundary, and nobody is safe till everybody is safe. So you know, healthcare is everybody's responsibility, and there cannot be a Chinese operation, a Russian operation, an American operation, and a European operation. There has to be more coordination. This is our biggest lesson. This was our biggest failure during the pandemic, lack of coordination, whether you see it nationally, where every state is doing different thing, or whether you see it internationally, where we are putting random travel restrictions in place, and then blaming the spread on one country or another. That's not the right thing to do. I think we'll be better off as a global population if we accept that these pandemics are everybody's problems and not one nation's problem or one continent's problem.
Yeah, I really feel like that conversation, it's not something that we've forgotten, but it is something that we need to start remembering to bring up more often at this point. And I know that it can seem a little preemptive to talk about that, especially considering the fact that we're looking, you know, in our own state, in our own communities, and not globally as yet. But Dr. Avesh Nikpal, always a pleasure to have you on the Mighty 790. Thank you so much for making some time today and answering our questions.
Thank you, Amy and JJ. Have a good day.
You too. This is It Takes Two. Amy Eiler, JJ Gordon here until 2 o'clock on the Mighty 790 KFGO.